Our text for today comes from Luke 24:13-32 and can be found on page 90 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming and dwelling here among us and being present to us this morning, God. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive the truth that you have for us, that you would speak and teach us through the scripture. For your word is the truth, and the truth has the power to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, they say there are something like 7 billion human beings living on planet Earth, and of those 7 billion, your life will intersect several thousand, probably 10 or 100,000. Now, the vast majority of those human beings who cross your path and you cross theirs will pass on by as strangers, walking down a city street, in an airport, flying somewhere. You see them and you maybe acknowledge them, you smile at them, but you don't really know them. But then every once in a while, your path and somebody else will intersect. And it's really interesting that in some cases, even though that connection may be for a very short time, it can have a profound impact. Or somebody who just leaves an impression upon you. I mean, I have met a lot of strange characters along the road of my life that I have found myself sometimes thinking about. Like the guy on the plane, 2.5 hours. The guy was having a manic episode. He talked to me for 2.5 hours, never stopped. I met another guy. We had stopped at a roadside bar. I was out in California with a college buddy, and this guy thought he was James Dean. And he sat there quoting James Dean quotes from movies, and he told me the next time I was in Lake Tahoe, I should go to the slot machines in section 2 of Harrah's because they always pay off big. And I got there a few weeks later. I went to section 2. I put in a couple quarters, and I won $1,000. I mean, the guy absolutely changed my life. We meet all kinds of people along the road, and it is fascinating that there are certain ones then that end up joining us for the rest of our journey. Yesterday we had a wedding here, and Karen and Neil Collins are here. Their daughter Shannon got married, and who met George, her husband, a couple of years ago, just out one night, very randomly, and now they're joining lives together, husband and wife, and they're going to walk the rest of their lives together on the same path. It is so interesting that people who touch us, some for a very short time, others over a long period, but they have such a deep impact on us. Just a few weeks ago, my wife got a random Facebook contact from somebody who said, "Are you the Liz Heinzel Nelson who used to teach third grade at Dunedin Elementary School?" Now, wait a minute. How many Liz Heinzel Nelsons are there out there in the world? There's one, and I've got her. She's mine. But when we were first married and we moved to Florida, when we were dating, she was finishing her master's in elementary education, and for the first 3 years of our marriage, she was an elementary school teacher. And then after our son was born, who happens to be here this morning, by the way, good to see Clay this morning, when he was born, she stopped teaching and never went back to the classroom. A lot of people don't know that she was an elementary teacher. But anyway, this girl said, "I'm so happy. I've been trying to find you all these years. I want to tell you what an impact you had on my life." She was a language arts teacher. My wife and this girl fell in love with writing as a third grader because she was in my wife's class, and she's gone on now to be a language arts teacher at a school and the specialist in teaching writing, and she traces that all back to that 1 year that she had this very special third grade teacher who touched her life and changed the course of that direction. For me, the guy I think about is a man named Jack Lewis. Jack Lewis was the director of the Cornell United Religious Works Department at Cornell University, where I went to school. And the summer between my junior year and my senior year of college was the first time that I had this crazy idea that maybe God was calling me to become a pastor. And I went back for my senior year very confused because that idea never crossed my mind. It seemed like the most preposterous, crazy thing. And I said, "What do I do with this idea? I don't really know what to do." I said, "Maybe there's somebody down at the United Religious Works that can help me figure this out." And I made an appointment and I went in, and the appointment was with the guy who was the director. Now, this was an ecumenical religious organization. There were priests there. There were imams there. There were rabbis there. There were all kinds of people. But I had an appointment with Jack Lewis. I made a 15-minute appointment because I was on my way to class. And I walked in and found out that this older man was an ordained Presbyterian pastor from Texas. He was one of my tribe. And this guy listened to this confused college student trying to make sense of this bizarre feeling that maybe God wanted him to do something. And he spent 2 hours with me. I missed my class, and he listened to me, and he asked great questions, and he was so compassionate, and he was so helpful. I left that meeting. I said, "I don't really know what it means to be a Presbyterian minister, but if it means being like this man, that's what I want to do with my life." And that is really a conversation that set me in the direction that's brought me to the place I am today. Now, Jack Lewis has since gone on home to be with the Lord, but I think of that meeting as one of the most important and significant 2 hours of my life. It was a brief time, but it was a time that was extraordinarily important. Have you had those meetings? Have you had those moments, those times of just sort of a connection. And maybe it didn't last more than a few minutes, but it was enough time for God to begin to speak into your life. Now, we believe as Christians that all of us should have that kind of encounter, not necessarily with another person, but with our risen Lord himself. We believe that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not a historical figure who lived 2,000 years ago only. He is also the living Lord of today who is accessible to the people of God through the agency of the one whom we call the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the Sunday that we celebrate that Jesus stays and continues to be present to the people through the power and the presence of the one whom we call the Holy Spirit. And the story that Luke tells us, I believe, is one of these stories that contains all the elements of how people continue to walk and meet Jesus Christ on the road even today. The story of these two early disciples walking from Jerusalem 7 miles to the little village of Emmaus, who are met by a stranger, is a prototypical story of how Christians continue to encounter Jesus Christ on the road today. Have you met him? Has he walked with you? Have you talked to him? Have you heard him speak? Some of you are saying, yes, I have. Some of you are saying, maybe. And some of you are saying, I don't think so. But I want to look at this story because I think it's going to help you understand how you may already be experiencing the risen Lord Jesus and not even recognizing that he's there. The first thing that happens, there are three witnesses to the resurrected Jesus that Luke contains in our story that happened on that first journey that continue to happen for people today. The first one is the witness of the church. As these two are walking along and they're joined by this strange person and they begin to tell him, are you the only person who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem? And they go on to talk about the death of Jesus, the crucifixion. And then they say this, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. The first experience of the risen Lord Jesus is through the eyes of someone else. It's through the witness of the angels to those women. He is alive, somebody else said. I've seen him, somebody else said. I know he is the Lord, somebody else said. Now, that's very important because for many people, that's the first time we get an inkling that this Jesus may have something to do with our lives, that he's still moving and active in the world because somebody else has experienced his power. Maybe that somebody else was your parents and they told you about how important Jesus is. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a neighbor. But somebody who's met Jesus has told you about him. And that's a great place to start in our faith. But you know, faith can never be lived through someone else's experience. Someone else's experience is their experience. It's God's gift to them. And that can be a compelling experience. But if it's not yours, it's always going to be secondhand. But that's where this faith begins, friends. For many, many people, somebody else tells us about Jesus. Who told you about him, first of all? Can you remember that person? A parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a friend? You know, a lot of times we get upset when we feel like we've passed on our faith to our children, and then at some point, maybe in high school, maybe in college, they seem to step away from it. They aren't interested. They stop going to church. And that can be a very upsetting experience for parents. Friends, don't be upset about that. All it means is they're looking for a firsthand experience of Christ. Your faith planted seeds, but that can't be their faith. They've got to come to that on their own, and that's okay. In fact, it might be a good thing. But then there's a second witness. The first witness is the witness of the church, the witness of somebody else saying he's alive. But then the second thing happens. It says this stranger beginning with Moses and the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The second witness is that of scripture. The Bible continues to bear witness to the reality that Jesus Christ is alive and moving in the world, that Jesus is involved in our lives. It is the witness of scripture, and that's why we make such a big deal about reading the Bible and teaching the Bible, because it's a place where people encounter the risen Jesus Christ. There are people who say, the first time I really came to faith was a sermon that I heard, or a Bible study I went to, or a class that I went, or I read the Bible one time, or I was in trouble and I opened it up and it spoke to me. It just seemed like something happened. I had a friend from high school, Glenn. He was the quarterback of our football team, and we had moved down to Florida, and it was numbers of years later, and I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I got this call out of the blue. He said, Steve, I'm going to be down in Florida on business. I'd like to come and see you. And he came by our house. I hadn't seen him in a while. And he said, I know that you're a pastor, and I really wanted to talk to you because something's happened to me. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I said, well, how did that happen? He goes, it's the strangest thing. He goes, when I was driving to work, I started listening to a Christian radio station, and there was a pastor who was preaching, and he was just preaching and teaching the Bible, and I began listening and paying attention, and there was something about it. And on my way to work a couple of months ago, I pulled over and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I met him, and now I'm trying to make sense of what to do next. He came to faith through Scripture and its interpretation. And that's why it's so important. As Presbyterians, the Bible is at the center of our worship service. It's at the center of our life because the Scripture helps people come into a firsthand experience of Jesus. Maybe they heard about him from the church, but now they're meeting him in the words of Scripture. And then there's a third witness that Luke gives us in their story. This man who's teaching them so powerfully from Scripture, they get to their little village of Emmaus, and he wants to keep on moving down the road. And they're saying, wait. We'd like you to stay here with us a little bit longer. Anyway, it's late at night. Why don't you at least come in and have a meal? And this stranger comes in. And this is what Luke says. While he was at table, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Took bread, blessed, broke, and gave. Friends, he's not describing dinner. He's describing sacrament. He's describing the same words that Jesus used on the night that he was betrayed. He took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it and gave it. Blessed, broke, and gave. This is sacramental language. And that's the moment that their eyes are opened and they realize that the person who was with them was the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He was right there. Through the witness of the church, through the interpretation of the Scripture, and through the breaking of the bread, through the sacrament. Those three things combined for them to have a first-person account with the risen Lord. And I believe the same thing happens today. The sacrament has a power about it that is very difficult to explain. It is mysterious and at times mystical. Now, I have encountered the risen Jesus dozens and dozens of times over the path of my life. I mean, he walks with me and he talks to me. He comforts me and he guides and directs me. And there are times when the presence of Jesus is palpable to me. Other times, I know he's there. I don't necessarily see him and experience him. But I will tell you one time when the power of the risen Lord was so present to me, it was overwhelming. I was at a conference dealing with evangelism in Atlanta, and my wife was with me, and we were sitting, and it was the closing worship service of this three-day conference, and I was ready to go home. I had really had it. I was actually not paying very much attention to the preaching that day. I was sitting there thinking about what time we were going to leave and where we were going to go, and it came moment for communion. And they brought out the trays of bread, the body of our Lord, and they were passing them down. The person sitting next to me turned and said, "This is the body of Jesus Christ, broken for you." And something cracked inside of me, and I began to weep. I mean, it was just this overwhelming sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, right there. He did this for me. And I took the plate, I took a piece of the bread, I turned, I tried to serve my wife, and I couldn't. My hands were shaking so much, the tears were coming down my face. I'm trying to say to her that this is Christ's body, and she's looking at me like, what is wrong with my husband? He's having a conniption or something. But it was the power of God in such a beautiful way. It was beautiful to me. Friends, Jesus Christ is alive, and he walks along the pathway of our lives. And occasionally, when we intersect his power, we become so aware of it. It changes us and it transforms us. And sometimes we say, well, I haven't met Jesus. I've never heard him speak. My question is, did somebody share their faith with you? Did you ever read something from Scripture that just really was powerful, or heard a message based on Scripture that spoke to your heart? Have you ever received the body and the blood in a way that just felt like something special? Friends, you've met the risen Jesus Christ. You just didn't recognize him. My prayer is today will be one of those days for some of you, and that you're going to leave this place knowing the risen Jesus with you. Lord, thank you so much for these beautiful witnesses to your presence and power. Forgive us for all the times, God, we've ignored you, overlooked you, haven't paid attention. And thank you, God, for all those times where you have flooded into our lives and you have made yourself known and you've spoken to us so powerfully and eloquently. We give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.